For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And, well, what do we have to talk about?
Well, first, the fact that there's nothing happening from Stratford to Shaw, all through Western New York, down into Manhattan, and across America. The touring companies have also stopped performing.
It's not the first time in history this has happened, of course.
You're referring to the Great Plague?
1593, yeah. But I hope that we are more successful in our efforts to temper this. It's obviously very serious. And so theaters have closed, and you can kind of see it coming in waves. And I think it exposes something that a lot of the public doesn't realize about the theater. They see the performances. Well, if you cancel performances of one show, recognize that while that show is being performed, another one's being rehearsed. So if you can't congregate to perform one, neither can you congregate to rehearse one. Once Irish Classical Theater canceled performances of The Onion Game, which was on its stage. And by that time, a theater is coasting. You know, the show is up. You just run it. But they are rehearsing, preparing, building Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard. Well, that comes grinding to a halt as well. And then you're looking at the whole season. So we've seen theater companies canceling entire seasons because it's just dominoes tumbling against each other until the end. And this could have long-term implications depending upon the financial health of institutions or their budgeting model, what their cash flow issues are. And the story at each theater is unique.
That's true. But to the extent people are able to do this, if anyone has pre-purchased tickets, you might consider donating the cost of that ticket back to the theater because times are tough all over, but they're particularly tough, as you say, for some of the smaller companies.
Indeed. I mean, they still would have to pay rent. In some instances, they still have to pay salaries, even with no money coming in at all. And then the other fear is theaters typically use that last show of the season to entice the subscribers for next season. So now they're worried about that. What will happen? Will people resubscribe having had this experience? Will people say, well, I'll just go show by show and see how it goes?
Speaking of show by show, something my dad always used to mention over and over, if you can, buy a season subscription, then the theater knows that you're with them and they can make plans for the future. Show by show can be scary.
Well, it's the same as a ball team, you know, that if your team loses a game, you don't say you'll never go there again. You're committed to the team. And I think that many people feel that way about their theaters that they subscribe or support, whether it's Shakespeare in Delaware Park or the Cavanoki, the Ropes, and wherever, Road Less Traveled and so on. They are committed to the mission of that theater and want to promote that kind of work.
You know, Anthony, usually we have so much to talk about. I don't get to talk about where folks can go for solid information about the theater, and that is your blog, Theater Talk Buffalo, all one word, spelled T-E-R, by the way, theatertalkbuffalo.com. If anyone listening has not subscribed, it's free. I don't know what you're waiting for. That's where you get the latest information on openings, closings, and what's going on behind the scenes.
And lately it's been kind of like when I was a kid and you'd have to listen to the radio for the school closings. That I put it out there and then watch the traffic elevate. It's like, what now? It's like, oh, Go Dog Go is not happening at Theater of Youth. Oh, no. And ceasing all operation, not having anyone come into work. That's kind of the way it's been happening. Something that theaters are doing, they're committed to specific shows and they're rolling them over into next season. New Phoenix will do Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf next season. Musical Fair will do Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder next season. And that's kind of been the trend. Similarly, Road Less Traveled has rolled the Curious Case of the Watson Intelligence over into next season. So it's been working that way.
I have to ask you a personal question. As you were updating your blog, did you find yourself getting a little emotional? Because I did, as my calendar, which at one point was so jam-packed, I couldn't see how I could get to everything, now is suddenly just a big blank piece of paper. It's upsetting.
It's funny. I think I'm a bit of a New Englander. That I
You're made of sterner stuff.
I looked and saw, well, this is disappointing, but people's lives are potentially at stake, and that's what we're facing here. I see people becoming nearly unhinged at what's happening, and I think that we need to be cautious. We need to not be reckless in our behavior and mind the guidelines. But, you know, okay, a little tear in the corner of the eye, not being able to see a show, but maybe you can see it next season. And it's rather a small price to pay to wait for this to be resolved, which I, of course, hope it is very quickly. And I think I was even mindful with my awareness of other epidemics, pandemics, living through AIDS, knowing people who lived through the pandemic of 1918. I was cautious yet methodical in curtailing activities. And also from experience, I know that the theater is very resilient. They said that radio would kill it. Didn't happen, you know. They said TV would kill it. Didn't happen. That live theatrical experience is, so far, impossible to duplicate. And it is such a primitive art. Just an actor and an audience, and you've got a show. And this will come back with a vengeance, and people will be thirsty for it again. For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.